big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Get back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at Patterson Park. Here's Will Conklin.
Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'll brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Welcome inside, Kicking It with Kunkel. We are live at Patterson Park today. God bless America. God
Good job
bless
hitting the post
World
there.
Cup. Woo! Man, I'm ready for this match tonight.
I was glad you didn't come in before the red, white, and blue. You knew to lay out there. Yep. Let Toby do his thing.
RIP to the big dog. Man, what a great song. What a great artist. What a great day for the World Cup officially starting today. Wait. There's another match going on right now already? What time is it?
Yeah.
2 o'clock.
Canada's
I thought this
playing.
Was 3 o'clock.
Yeah, Canada's playing.
All right.
Against BIH. I could not tell you who that is.
That is.
Any guesses?
Yes.
As we sound like dumb, ignorant Americans?
It's like Bosnia or something. I think it's.
I don't know.
Yeah, how are you going to laugh
Bosnia.
Then?
Bosnia. Hey! Bosnia. Look at that.
Is the H.
Look at that. Okay.
How are you
going
to laugh and mock me for being correct and knowing my sock being a soccer guy?
Because I just said I'm a dumb, ignorant American.
You got that right. Yeah. You're embarrassing.
I am.
All right, so Canada and Bosnia, 5 minutes into this match on the pitch. Up north, our Canadian friends. Well, 0-0. They got the sound on here at Patterson Park. By the way, come on down and hang out. You can win $500 for a public boot company.
Will they win more World Cup matches than they do Stanley Cup finals?
Or Olympic.
They're not.
The silver
the
medalists.
Yeah.
We own hockey. We didn't win the baseball tournament, which pisses me right off. Because we had the opportunity to win the Olympic gold medal in hockey, men's and women's. We had the opportunity to win the Baseball Classic and, the opportunity, I suppose, of the World Cup. Match starts tonight for USA. Will Kunkel here, kicking in with Kunkel, sitting alongside Brian. Sean Mapes is back in studio producing, playing those bangers here celebrating America. Come on down as Huntington Bank is supporting us at Patterson Park. We got food. We got drinks. We got all of it, a $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company as well. So before the break, we were talking about the Texans.
Unpatriotic Joe came by singing the Canadian National Anthem.
What a jerk.
I know. Flipping us off, singing, support Canada. What's wrong with this
man? Hey, did you bet on this game? He did not bet on
this
game.
Okay.
So you're not actually Canadian today.
Yeah.
All right.
Fake Canadian.
Yeah.
Typical. Not like you, a true.
A true Mexican.
Yeah, a true Mexican, yeah.
Yeah, that was yesterday,
Will
though.
Will Cunkelito.
Cunkel. I want to do something with a Z, like a Rodriguez, like a Conquerez.
I'll let you work on that.
Yeah, I got to play that one out. We got to.
Yeah, workshop that. Get back to us.
Yeah, exactly. So before the break, I asked the question, if the Houston Texans, if you're putting this team together and you are the engine of this team is the defense. The X factor, you can say we agreed to disagree on either C.J. Stroud, Keelan Rutledge, or maybe like Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noll, like another wide receiver.
Yeah, the second
another,
wide receiver.
A part on that offense.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we agreed C.J. Stroud's really the answer.
Right.
Tank Dell would be the icing on the cake if they got him back, what he would mean to the team. What is Nick Caley to this team? Because I think without talking about him and saying that he's a major part of this their success or failure, because we don't know what we're getting. Like, D'Amico Ryans is a major part, of course, right? He's the defensive coordinator de facto and the head coach, but we also know what we're getting. It's baked in. It's part of it. He is your DNA. Nick Caley's still trying to kind of figure that out. What is Nick Caley to this team?
I'm afraid he's the handcuff.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to go negative on you, but I still can't get past, and we talked about this a little yesterday, I still can't get past in my head his explanation for why they were near the bottom of the league in the first half of the season in motion rate. His explanation of it being, well, motion is a game plan-specific concept, where he didn't seem to think that that was a vital piece of an offense week in and week out. Also can't get past, not that he's alone on this, but some of the, not just that they didn't work or just that he called kind of a cutesy play. Remember the Woody Marks touchdown that got scored when it snapped between CJ's legs?
Yep.
And people tried to say it was intentional. There was also the kind of weird, funky play with Tommy Togiai.
Yep.
That was weird looking. There was just too many of those moments. In addition to at times him looking like he was in over his head with, for some reason, thinking motion is a week-to-week option and not something that should be a fundamental part of your offense. So, unfortunately, I'm afraid he's the handcuff.
So I agree / disagree because there's no upside to the handcuff except for some fun if they're furry.
yes.
Facts. Nick Caley, to me, is the spark plug. Because
that's very opposite of a handcuff.
Well, potentially. It either works or it doesn't work. And if it works, okay, we got something going on here. C.J. Stroud now can do his job. The offensive line is in put position to potentially be able to do their job. But nothing's going to happen without the spark plug. It may not fire, though. So, like, that spark plug, if it doesn't fire, it's a wrap. If Nick Caley is the handcuff / the negative side to the spark plug, well, it doesn't really matter what your engine is. You're only going so far. It doesn't really matter who your X factor is. It doesn't really matter who the icing on the cake is. It doesn't matter who you have on the field. He will be your handcuff if that spark plug doesn't fire. Now, if it fires and he somehow figures this out and learns, which I don't, I genuinely don't think so, then we're in business. So he's the spark plug for me.
Yeah, I guess you could almost call that like the foundation then, right?
Yeah,
because like
not
like because the way you described it, where if the spark plug doesn't fire, then all the things we talked about before that can't happen.
At least offensively.
Yeah, offensively.
Like defensively is the engine because it's got gas, it's got its own spark plug, which is D'Amico.
Okay, so we're sticking with the car. Maybe he's the frame. Like if your frame's all bent to hell, what does it matter?
The problem right now is that there's two different cars. There's two different bodies of work. It's the defense.
The defense is a Ferrari.
They're not really working together.
A beat up 92.
Yeah. Because the car, unfortunately, if you're an NFL team, you got to work together as one unit to win the Super Bowl. Like, you got to play complementary football. Right now, they're not playing complementary football at all consistently. I say right now as in what we saw last year.
Yeah, of course.
So they're not one car. They're not one unit. One of them is a well-greased-up, ready-to-roll, fueled machine in the defense. The other thing might not have a spark plug, let alone an engine.
Yeah, it may not go anywhere. Yeah.
So
You might try to turn the key and nothing happens.
Now, unfortunately, in the NFL season, you're going to hook those two cars together, and the defense is going to just pull the offense along.
I mean, they did in the regular season last year.
They did all year. They pulled them along until they couldn't, until they were too tired.
Yeah. But that kind of gets back to the point we were talking about earlier. Like, you can get through a regular season and through the first round of the playoffs with the defense dragging the carcass of the offense along.
Jeez.
Was that too dark?
It's pretty good, though.
Okay. But if that's the case again this year, I'm not saying it necessarily is, although I do have my concerns. But if that is indeed the case again, it's one and done. I don't see any way that the offense could drag or the defense could drag the Texans' offense along to anything more than they did last season.
Yeah, and it's not them against the playoffs like the round. It's them against who they're going to face in that round, and it's going to be a good team.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. That's
Every
how this
team
works.
In the final eight is going to have a good or decent to a very good defense.
What they're going to have is a good enough team. They're going to have a good enough team to where you need to put it all together to be a good team, not a great defense.
Right.
I have no problem with your defense being your engine. I have no problem being a defensive-led
team.
The
defense just can't be – or the offense can't be a liability.
100%.
I mean, if the offense is, I don't know, 18th in the league, they might be able to get by. If they're 27th, they can't, no matter how good the defense is.
It's an offensive-driven league. However, I used to not subscribe, and I do a little bit. So it depends kind of what the type of conversation we're having is. Is the phrase defense wins championships, I understand why you say that, because if you have a great defense, you're always going to be in the game because you're not giving
up. It gives you a higher floor, I think.
Yeah, because you're not giving up 35 a game, right?
Right.
So you're always kind of in the game. Now, whether or not your offense can put it together or not that day remains to be seen. But a championship-caliber defense just keeps you in the game. Unfortunately, your offense, to what you said, can't be a liability. It can't drag you down. It has to be good enough. It has to be like what Trent Dilfer and the Ravens were with Jamal Lewis. Like, they had a good enough offense to win the Super Bowl with that defense.
I mean, I don't know. Trent Dilfer was pretty bad.
Well, I'm not saying he's good, but the offensive unit was good enough to win the Super Bowl because they did.
That defense was even, I think, 5 points beyond what even the Texans were giving up last year. That defense was otherworldly.
Or the Bears defense the year they went with Rex Grossman. Like, that was not a very good offense
at
all.
No, Sexy Rexy was not great.
But the defense was good enough, and the offense was good enough.
And Devin Hester was a game changer on special teams, yeah.
Which we even saw in the Super Bowl where they lost. So, I subscribe to the defense wins championships, but I've also subscribed to, like, no, that doesn't. Good teams win championships. And that is apropos to this Texans team, because this defense will not win a championship unless the offense does their job.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think the defense wins championships crowd got a boost by the Seahawks and what they did last year. But I think if you look...
Bro, that offense was, like, that offense was
I know,
good.
Jackson Smith and Jigba was great, and Ken Walker was a Super Bowl MVP. But Sam Darnold led the league in turnovers. I mean, we can't forget that part of the conversation. But my point just being, like, even if you're saying it was a defense wins championship case last year with Seattle, even if that was the case and ignore what Seattle did on the offensive side, you still have, you know, this century.
I'm going to cut you off blatantly.
Okay.
I'm going to rudely.
That's fine. Go ahead. You're a rude American. Go
Who
ahead.
Who do you think scored the most points in the NFL last year?
Off the top of my head.
It doesn't matter. Just take
Cowboys.
It. Rams, 30 points a game.
Okay.
Who do you think was number two at 29.2 points per game? Here's a hint. It's Seattle.
Okay. Oh, they were the same.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Like, that's a well-rounded kick-your-ass team, because we can win with defense, offense, and I'm sure their kicker was pretty damn good.
So C.J. Stroud needs to be Sam Darnold. Is that our takeaway?
Which I think is fine. Like, Sam Darnold was that good. Like, Sam Darnold was good last year. I think he was better than you think he was.
Well, I'm just saying he led the league in turnovers. It can't be ignored.
He had 25 touchdowns and threw for 4,000 yards.
I know.
But he had 14 interceptions, 25 touchdowns, and his QB rating was 99.
99's a little on the average side, but it's fine. I don't know what the fumble numbers were. But the point being, like, CJ, because the conversation around CJ is, like, can he just not be a hindrance? And I think that's where kind of ties in with Sam Darnold, because of the turnover numbers from Sam Darnold and Seattle's ability to overcome that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the interceptions were an issue. It's your talking point, which obviously it would be. But he also did a lot of good to kind of mask.
No,
up
I'm not, this
the
is
turnovers.
Not to crap all over Sam Darnold. I'm just saying.
Boy, does it feel like he's got crap all over him.
It's just to make the point that the Seahawks were able to overcome a quarterback that did turn the ball over,
but also threw for 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, and led an offense that had 29 points a game.
Which CJ Stroud has not proven capable of doing outside of his rookie season.
Yes. So as much as the negative was there, there was obviously a whole bunch of positive. Houston's offense, how many points? They scored 23.7, which was 13th in the league. But this is where we talked about this yesterday. If that's such a fugazi number, because you have to remove the Ravens game, and you have to remove
the Titans game,
and maybe even the
49ers.
That's it, just those two. Because I don't think it's fair to remove all the good games. Like, that's kind of crazy. But, like,
49ers
counting the
were
Ravens,
pretty beat up.
They scored
42 against the Ravens.
Right, and I think they scored 70-some-odd points in two games. Like, that's not who the offense was, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, you certainly have to throw off the Ravens game because now obviously everyone remembers they were missing Lamar Jackson, but they're also missing like half their starting defense.
Oh, they were missing everybody. It was a joke.
They were basically playing a D2 school.
They scored 44 against Baltimore.
Oh,
they scored 26 against the Titans.
Now they scored 26, but it was mostly
they scored 70 points in two games. That they're not a 35 point per game offense.
Point case in point. They had 6 points through the first three quarters of that Titans game.
Yes. Yeah. So that's like
that tells the story right there.
100. Yeah, they had 5 quarters of good football, and one was against a completely anemic team because nobody was playing. It's like when you take the best, you like eliminate the best game, and you eliminate the worst game, and then they kind of find out a little bit more who you are. If you're taking 44 points away from this offense, that's a massive drop off, because in the first game they scored 9, they scored 19, and they scored 10 in their first three games. And then all of a sudden they scored
2 total touchdowns.
Yeah.
In their first three games.
Like this was not 0-3. This was not a competent offense, let alone good. Let alone middle of the pack of the NFL, which is what the numbers suggest. That's why you have to be a smart sports fan and look inside the numbers. Be aware of what you're looking at. Don't just tell me the top 25 offenses in the NFL and where the Texans rank, and that's the answer. That's BS. That they're not the 15th or 13th best team offensively in the NFL. We all know that.
Yeah, I
agree.
They're
bottom third. At best, if not bottom quarter.
Yeah, I would say definitely 20 or below. I'd have to dig into all the teams that are around that to like place them in an exact spot. But without looking at, you know, the offensive scoring numbers, I would say definitely 20 or below.
Yeah, they're just not good. They got to get a lot
better. Which
will
be bottom third, so.
All right, we got to go to a break here?
No, we got a few minutes, but we can break early if you'd like.
No,
up to you.
Heavens. I wonder what the math is if you remove that 44 or.
Oh, you want time to do math? Yeah, let's
go
to break.
No, because I'm not going to do all the math. Okay, I actually kind of refuse to.
We also had food dropped off, so we could just selfishly go to break and eat.
Food here from the Grove.
The Grove. Shout out to Lonnie, who the owner of Patterson Park and the Grove, who brought it by.
I wonder what's in those brown
bags. I don't know.
I love how no one has touched them because they're afraid. Because it's
I was afraid of you.
Food. It's elitist food.
You didn't get the River Oaks burger yesterday, you elitist.
Yeah, because it's also the most, like, ironically, the least amount of frills.
Yeah, I know. That is kind of funny. It is kind of funny.
It was lettuce, tomato, American cheese, and pickles. That's how I like my burgers. It's like good. I don't need the bacon jam, candied, jalapeno, pepper, peckerhead.
I got blueberry on mine.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah.
You got blueberry
It was called a whiskey burger. Shout out to Rodeo Goat. It was great.
Oh, my. Do we have a goal? Oh, my. Bosnia, 1-0.
Goal! Bosnia. 1-0 over Canada.
Wow.
Canada choking dogs.
So, apparently...
Can I declare it already?
Choking dogs. I think that's China that does that.
They're losing it. Okay. They're losing it. They're losing in Toronto to Bosnia. Choking dogs.
So my buddy's Canadian who lives here in Houston. He said that Canada lost. No, Bosnia beat some good Italy, which is not even a good team. But
yeah, they didn't even make the World Cup.
Beat some other teams, and also Canada's missing their best player.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who's the best. That's like the tallest short guy, you know, like the tallest midget.
I guess it's a moose. Who's your best player?
Bullwinkle?
A beaver?
She does not look happy.
No, she does not.
Speaking of. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to continue talking about the Texans. We're live here at Patterson Park. We're here all day. USA starts at 8 o'clock. Here is the Grove food that we just got. Shout out to Lonnie.
We got fries.
You can win $500 to Republic Boot Company, which I love that place. They give away alcohol when you're in there shopping. They get you all liquored up. Huntington Bank is here as well. So please, come on out to Patterson Park.
We got food
specials. We got drink specials. We're going to let you know how this food is from the Grove on the other side of this break. Think about that question that I asked you all. If you guys want to chime in, first of all, what's the ceiling for this Team USA team? 713-780-3776. And also, what's Nick Caley to this offense if the other pieces are what we said they were? We'll be right back after this. This is Kicking It with Kunkel. We're live at Patterson Park, live on ESPN Radio as the World Cup is officially underway as USA plays tonight at 8 o'clock, y'all. We'll be right back. Oh, say can you
You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at Patterson Park. Here's Will Kunkel.
When do we cut in? Like, when do we get the option? Hell yeah.
There you go. Now you cut in.
Broke my heart when I learned that was lip sync.
Yeah. Never meet your heroes.
Oh, golly, that's such tough news. But Canada sails one high.
Choking dogs.
Trailing 1-0 against Bosnia. This is Kicking It with Kunkel on ESPN Radio. We are live at Patterson Park all day today. Joe George and Brian Lalima coming up next. Brian and Sean on the show right now. Come on down, meet us. You can get a $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company. Huntington Bank sponsoring all the fun as well as the watch parties are going to be going on for a long time here with ESPN. Can't wait. The food from the Grove, by the way,
fantastic.
That Lonnie brought us is just the bang.
Oh, these fries are great.
Yeah, these
like Parmesan garlic fries. Yeah, these are great. Burger was good. You ate a little bit of a salad they brought your way?
Yeah, do you want
kind of like the arugula that you were so fascinated by on the Dad Bod Burger yesterday at Rodeo Goat?
I can't believe you didn't get the Dad Bod Burger.
I didn't. No, I went the Whiskey Burger.
Did anybody?
Not that I'm aware of, no. At least nobody in our party, that is.
This food is great. I love – are you a pickle guy?
No, and Alexi hates me for it.
I love pickles.
I haven't told her yet that I took the pickles off my hamburger.
I see them in the bag. I was wondering like
– Yeah, no, that was me.
I was like, I just ate one. And I was like, usually you find straggling fries. You don't find straggling pickles.
No, that was because I'm a child and I took the pickles off my burger.
You are a child.
Yeah, I am. I can't deny that.
Looks like our network connection has been lost on YouTube.
That's great. All right, well, I'll try to fix that while you also eat on air, and we'll be completely professional.
This is great radio.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you're at a bar. There's a watch party. Canada's losing. We're all celebrating.
Choking dogs.
Do people want Canada to win, or are they like a rival just because they're obnoxious as all hell now? They're all annoying. I think we all want – I don't know how
– I kind of would like to see Canada lose in embarrassing fashion.
Either that or we beat them.
Yeah. They're not in the same group, so I guess that would have to be – I mean, if Canada can't win this game, though, right? Aren't they I don't see them advancing out of the group stage.
Is it predetermined where you go if you win your group and who you would potentially face? Or like,
we'll have to call Glenn back. I don't know.
Mapes, do you know?
Yes, there is like the first team in – or the first place team in one group will play the second in another group. I just don't have it off the top of my head.
Okay. So it's kind of predetermined. So
yeah.
We could
it's
potentially
slotted
see.
In, basically. Yeah.
Okay. I want to know what these enchiladas are. All right. Anyway.
Well, you ate some.
I know, but I couldn't tell. I can't tell what's in it. I think it tasted seafoody. I couldn't really tell. It don't matter. This is terrible radio. I've got money on USA to win.
Yeah.
What do the Astros do? We've talked about it
endless. Games.
We've talked about this a lot of what they should do and if they should be buyers or they should be sellers and how they should go about that. But what do you think they will do? Like, what do you think is going to be the answer?
If I had to guess as to what Dana Brown will do at the deadline, I think it'll be a whole lot of nothing. And I don't think that's necessarily entirely his call, because if they continue like this, I think they're going to be in a spot where Jim Crane would know by end of July that they're probably going to be moving on from Dana Brown and Joe Espada. And if you are moving on from Dana Brown, I don't think you'd want to trust him then with the rebuild process, if there was to be one. Like, you wouldn't say, Dana Brown's performed so poorly that we're going to fire him. Let me also let him handle trading away Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena, and all these valuable assets that you hope to be the fuel for your rebuild. So I think they ultimately end up doing nothing or virtually nothing at the deadline and then making their moves in the offseason.
To be fair, his trades, his two most notable trades, getting rid of Kyle Tucker, getting Cam Smith in return. Do you like that or dislike that? Like, was that a good trade?
Cam Smith has been, I wouldn't even say mediocre at this point, at least as an offensive player. Now, defensively, he's been a fine player in right field, but as an offensive player, he's below average.
Because everybody loved the trade initially because we understood we weren't going to re-sign Kyle Tucker.
Because Cam Smith was a high-level prospect,
right?
But I think it's too early to say for sure, but I think there's a pretty good chance they ruined him by how quickly they brought him
up. Well, that's a little bit of a – now, maybe that still falls on Dana, but that's different than was the trade smart, and then the separate conversation is how they handled the player once they
I think it was smart
him.
To trade Kyle Tucker because you had no chance
of signing him. Oh, it was 100% smart.
I was mad at the time that they went half measure and didn't also trade Framber Valdez.
I agree.
Because there was no chance they were going to bring back Framber Valdez.
However, they needed Framber to make a run, and they were going to potentially get in the playoffs, and if they did,
yeah, I guess
then you had Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez.
Yeah, but if you're really trying to if the main priority is make the playoffs and make a run, then why are you trading Kyle Tucker? So it's kind of they're kind of talking out both sides of the mouth. If the goal is make a run, you don't trade Kyle Tucker. If you realize, maybe we're going to fall a little short, let's start to reignite our farm system to get the next generation of players here, then you trade both Framber and Tucker. So they went full half measure.
Well, you can kind of also
or
make
half measure,
you can
not,
make
not
the argument
measure.
That you'll get something in return for Kyle Tucker. Not that you wouldn't.
I mean,
for
right now, there's a return great right now. Cam Smith has struggled offensively.
Well, that's part of what the problem
Hayden
is.
Hayden Wesneski's played like three games.
That's part of the problem of making trades in Major League Baseball for prospects is you just don't know how they're going to work out. You can't predict it. And
for sure.
Like, these prospects are graded and they're ranked, and he got a great player based on the rankings and the
yes,
so like that's
it was
inarguable,
a win at the time.
Okay?
It was a win at the time.
It is what it is. Now for Framber Valdez, you can argue that for what his value on your team is far greater than what you're going to get in return because of his issues, because of the Cesar Salazar situation, because like he took a long time to sign because he wasn't really in demand.
Yeah, no, he certainly. I mean, he obviously fell short of because I think going into Framber's last year here, there was definitely people, myself included, I'll raise my hand, that thought he could, if with a good season, get a max-free type deal, that 200, like, I think it was 8 years, $200 million that he got from the Yankees, I believe was the richest contract for a left-hander in history. I thought that was on the table for Framber Valdez if he had another,
It certainly was on the table.
Yeah.
Like, because he's that guy. Like, he has that ability. He's a potential ace.
Yeah, but obviously didn't happen. A little bit of an up and down season, and then of course people, I think, are just scared off by the mental side for Framber Valdez. We know he has to have a sports therapist, which you wonder maybe if he should have a new sports therapist if he can't keep from beaning his catcher during a game, but
golly,
and going rogue and calling his own pitches and just grooving fastballs down the middle because he's mad.
That's why I don't have as much of a problem not trading Framber, only because you're going to get pennies on the dollar in return.
Yeah.
But for him on your roster, I mean, you have an ace. Like,
that is the unknown, because Jeremy's made this point to his credit. Like, it's entirely possible the Astros did everything they could to trade Framber Valdez.
They
just were getting, to your point, pennies in return on the offer and decided, well, I guess we'll hang on to him and go with it for this season, see if they can do something. And they finished, to their credit, one game short of the playoffs. It's not like they were 12 games out.
And then on the other hand, Kyle Tucker, the fact that you did, the return at the time, the value. No, first of all, the book on Cam Smith is not written, so that's not even over. But at the time, it was viewed as a very good trade, and I'm okay with that because, like, we can't predict the future. And Kyle Tucker, I've thought for a period of time now, has been a pretty overrated player.
He's not, certainly in the postseason, he's
exactly.
Not lived up to what – like, he was a – I think he was one home run short of a 30-30 season in 2023. Like, he's been a really good plus offensive player for a number of years.
Yeah.
Good defensive player, too. I believe he has a gold glove to his
Yeah, I'm not saying he was an overall player.
But you're right. Postseason, overall. He's not been that player.
So in 2024.
So I think overrated is fair.
In 2024, with the Astros, so I'm talking just with the Astros in the postseason, he batted zero in 2024.
Yeah, it was two games, but yeah, that's fair.
He batted 154. In 2023. Yeah, you know why it was two games? Because he batted zero.
Yeah, that does lead to only playing two playoff games if one of your best hitters doesn't get a single hit.
In 2023, in two series, against the Rangers, he batted 154. Against the Twins, he batted 143. The prior year, in the World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies, he batted 190. In the series prior to that, the ALCS against the Yankees, 154. Like, this guy wasn't good.
No, he's been terrible in the postseason. There's no denying that.
That's going back to 2022. Now, in the ALDS, he batted 267. And I don't need you to bat 300 or 400 because you're facing the best pitching and, like, it's harder. But betting in the 100s is unacceptable for a player making his kind of money.
And obviously some baseball analytics nerds will obviously point out that batting average is overrated, which is fair, but you can't hit in the 100s.
My God, be relevant.
You can't hit in the 100s, though. Like, even if batting average is an overrated stat, which I do agree with,
what number do you care about?
OPS.
Because if
OPS.
Okay,
I'm not arguing against you.
So, first of all,
I'm just saying the point. Like, even if
I agree.
Even if batting average is overrated, you can't hit 150.
So, I actually agree with you. However, when you're hitting 150, there's not going to be one metric that's good.
The OPS will come down also. Yeah.
Your OPS in those years was 545.545. 125, 125. Oh my God!
Wait, his OPS was 125.
His OPS, yes. And so those two games against the Tigers, 125.
Jeez.
1-2.
Again, it is two games, but
that
damn.
Is insane. 5-2-1, 5-0-8, 8-0-4 against the Phillies in the World Series, which is above average. 7-17 is usually about average. The ALCS against the Yankees, 4-6-6. So he wasn't even near.
That's horrid.
Yeah. It's just bad.
A player of his elk should be 750 or above.
So the fact that you were able to get a return like you did with Cam Smith and Hayden Wesneski, I'm cool with.
And Isak Paredes, yeah.
Like that. Oh, yeah, and Isak. That's a great. Man, that's a really good. I forgot
it
about
was.
These,
it just didn't pan
that's
out.
A really. So, well, yet. I mean, it's a little unfair to rate the trade entirely right now.
Yeah, but all I can do is rate for what we have right
now. Fine.
I don't have the benefit of 5 years.
It's not the final grade.
I'm not saying like it's it'll go down as the worst trade. I'm not saying like definitive, but as of now, the return has not been.
Cam Smith has not held up his end of the deal. Isak absolutely
Isak did, but he's had some. Isak was great last year until he got hurt. This year is.
I mean, that's fine.
This year he hasn't.
That's not
been
trade
wonderful.
Like.
Hayden Wesneski had Tommy John. It is what it is.
We can all agree this was not a bad trade. Like, this wasn't trade.
I was happy with the trade at the time. Unfortunately, it's not gone as well as we hoped.
So, I guess the reason we have that elongated conversation unnecessarily is because Dana Brown, to his credit, the true trades that he's made, the Kyle Tucker trade and the trade for
Yusei Kikuchi,
were both great.
Yeah.
Great, good trades, great trades.
Yeah,
worked
gave
out.
Up,
they were both beneficial for the Astros. It worked out.
Because at the time, I know there was a lot of hand-wringing over what they gave up to get Yusei Kikuchi, both because Yusei had been a pretty mid pitcher.
Looper Fido was the hang-up?
I think it was more Jake Bloss and Will Wagner.
Oh, for God's sake, stop.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but there was hand-wringing.
Those are stupid people.
I mean,
They've never sniffed the big leagues.
Jake Bloss hasn't done any. Well, Lou Profito's in the big leagues. But
saying the guys that you just mentioned never sniffed.
Yeah, Jake Bloss and Will Wagner have not done anything. Lou Profito's been a major league player, but,
They weren't even ranked.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually, I think, his best trade.
He got Lou Profito back.
Yeah, for Jesus Sanchez,
Like, that. Whoever thinks that, please, please, by all means, I want to hear.
Jeremy Brown.
Come in. Stop. Jeremy, call in, 713-780-3776.
He doesn't listen when he's not working.
You got to be kidding me. Jeremy thinks that.
At the time, when it was first made, he thought it was too much for Kikuchi.
Bro, then that means he must thought Cam Smith was the greatest trade of all time.
He did like that. Yeah, he liked the return.
But beyond.
He liked the return.
Because Cam Smith was actually ranked well as a prospect, where those two guys weren't even on the radar.
Bloss, I think, was fringe like top 100-ish? Because he was at least a decent draft pick, but Lou Perfetto and Will Wagner were not highly rated.
But we
sure.
had seen Lou Perfetto at the big league level at that point, I believe. A couple games in left.
Yeah. He played at the big leagues before that. Oh, they just showed Mike Myers in the stands. He's at the game.
He's still doing things?
Yeah, well.
I'm a huge Mike Myers fan and just, like, heartbroken of that. He just left Hollywood.
Yeah, like, he does things occasionally. Good. He had a show on Netflix where he played, like, 10 different characters. Came out a couple years ago. It was, like, a spy thing. I forget what it was called. It was decent. But, yeah, no, he hasn't done a whole lot since the Austin Powers days.
Damn. Yeah, he's the man. I love, like, in those Austin Powers movies. What's your favorite one? Speaking
first
of Dana
one.
Brown and making trades.
First one. Yeah, the original.
I think Goldmember is my favorite, and it, by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Goldmember character didn't hit the same for me. Like, it felt like it, by the time it got to the end of Austin Powers, like, it kind of became a parody of itself.
See,
like, it just kept going further and further to the point where, I don't know.
I don't think that the Goldmember character itself was fine. I thought the Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, Scott, Mini-Me stuff was just like out of the was the best. I thought it was so freaking funny.
That's why I loved the first one.
Yeah,
it was like Austin Powers. It was Seth Green that played Scott, right? His son.
Yeah.
All of that was great.
I can make an argument that Foxy Cleopatra, Beyonce, is the worst character in movies of all time. Like, she is the worst.
She's the worst
because
God, there has to be a worse
because
character
she brought
Jar Jar Binks.
You know what's so funny is that's like the only newer Star Wars I've seen, and
get
I liked it because I didn't know anything.
Oh,
and everyone's
gosh.
Like, "What do you mean
Let's
you liked
go to
it? Darth Maul?"
Let's go to break. No, Darth Maul was awesome. I liked Darth Maul. He was a cool villain.
Now I can see
Jar Jar
why.
Binks was.
I didn't like Jar Jar Binks.
Travesty.
I saw he was a loser. Like he was just a geek and like just terrible. Like he was such a cornball. Like I could say a lot of other things off air, but
he thinks like, his character sucks.
Yeah, his character sucked for sure. But it's just kind of funny. It's like the one I saw, and I was like, that was a good movie.
That was the,
and everyone,
that was the very first Star Wars you saw?
Like, not as a kid. So, like, as a kid, I saw, like, the old ones.
Oh, okay. Well,
but,
yeah.
You know, I couldn't really
I know you
take
weren't
them
adult
in
the 70s,
per se.
So.
I couldn't, like, take them in, though. You know what I'm saying?
Are you not someone that can watch, like, an old movie just because it's
no, I can.
Doesn't
I went,
look as good?
I went back and did it, and it I thought they were cool for what they were and good, but it didn't, like... Hit with me.
Yeah.
I get you. Will watch the old Top. I don't know that they're that far apart, but I'll watch the old Top Guns. Like I'm the Top Gun. Like a billion.
First Top
after,
Gun was like what mid-80s?
Yeah,
86.
I'll watch that
87?
A thousand times.
Got the Need for Speed.
The new one I loved as
I did too.
I've watched that probably 10 times.
You watched it 10 times
because if it's on, I watch it.
Start to finish.
Well, if it's on, like...
Oh, you'll just finish it.
I'll just... Yeah, okay. I'm not turning it off. Or whatever I'm doing, it's on. Like, I'm not turning
it
off.
I liked it, but I don't know if that's a stop what I'm doing, finish the movie if I see it on.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, just... That... So, you know what's crazy? I wanted to make, like, a TikTok or something about this. I heard that... You know that audio dong to the... That song, the login song? It's like...
Oh,
the top done song is like...
Yeah.
Can you play that, Sean? I don't know. The start of that song...
Danger Zone.
Yeah. Is it the Danger Zone song or is that the other?
I think it's called Danger Zone by
okay.
Kenny Loggins.
I know
right?
Because I know there's two that are kind of popular, and I don't know if I screw them
up. I think Danger Zone's the main one.
Anyway, that like you know the dong that I'm talking
yeah.
about. I keep saying dong as if that's cool.
Clip it, yes.
Gee whiz, I heard that and I was like,
sounds like a Pavlovian dong.
Yes,
response.
Like it was 100%.
As soon as you hear that, you're like.
Top Gun, oh my
so
God.
For me
America,
as a wrestling fan, if I think of hearing an
the
audio dong, I think The Undertaker's going to show up.
Oh. What is some of the best audio cues in the glass breaking?
Glass breaking for Stone Cold's way
the
up
dong
there, for sure.
Like, obviously, those like pops in wrestling are huge, but that Kenny Loggins is out of this world as well. Canada and Bosnia going to halftime. Bosnia leading 1-0. That's crazy. We are live at Patterson Park as the World Cup rolls on. America tips off tonight at 1 o'clock. We got to take a quick break, or are we going to roll out?
Well, I think at this point we just go another 3 minutes and we break early.
Okay.
Just a couple more minutes we'll break early and we'll be done. Hand it over to Joe George and Brian Lima.
Cool. What worries you most about the Texans going into training camp? What are you watching the most? Because we do training camp and we – well, see, I think –
because it's hard to escape that part of the conversation.
Go deeper for me, because you and I spend enough time around the team, know what the real intricacies are of what is, because it's not like I got a problem. Like when we say CJ, I don't have a fear of CJ missing wide open wide receivers. I don't have a fear that he doesn't have the ability to make throws. Like,
I agree with that.
So what if you go in a, like just a little deeper on that? What about CJ? If that's your answer, because mine is Nick Caley and the inability to just be a competent offensive coordinator. My fear for CJ, I have some fears or worries, but it's not that he's a competent quarterback and has the ability to make all throws or whatever it might be. My biggest concern is Nick Caley and this offense, like just knowing what to do.
I think it's my fear is that going to CJ Stroud is that he's broken.
I don't mean to poke and prod, but what is broken? Why?
To our earlier conversation of being gun shy from getting hit. Like, because we had that conversation of he got hit so much, he sees the rush, he seems to be gun shy, and we had that conversation of can you come back to that? I think we both agree that it doesn't happen often that a guy gets to that point and then comes back to it. So my biggest concern going into training camp is even though they made the additions they did on the offensive line with Wyatt Teller, Dallas Braden, and Keelan Rutledge, that on paper seems like the best offense they've had, or best offensive line they've had in the D'Amico Ryans era, and maybe even years beyond that. My concern is that CJ is, for lack of a better term, David Card, to the point where even if the protection's good in front of him, he's going to still be reverting to the same sort of seeing the rush, not looking downfield, lowering his eyes, and things that lead to bad offensive play.
You know, so I agree with you. And I knew that was your answer. I just wanted to, like, flush it out a little bit. I think that training camp's important because I think you've got to protect CJ and start to build that confidence with the offensive line and that trust, because week one against the Bills, man, we'll find out right away if those feet are happy.
Yeah.
I was asked last year in the offseason on a podcast if I thought that his feet were fixed, and I said they're certainly not fixed because you can't fix them without actually doing it, right? Like, you.
Yeah, what you it's can, fake confidence. Like, right. He can look great in camp, but that's fake confidence.
I thought they were in hibernation, is how I explained. I said they're hibernating.
So.
Don't make noise around them. Don't wake the feet. Don't bother. You know, it's a sleeping baby.
Let it sleep.
Yep.
God, there's nothing worse than a sleeping child waking up. You know that as a new father.
Indeed, I do. Is that you're on edge at all
times. Oh, my God.
You're a sound. You're like, what was that?
You'll trade anything in your life to get that child to go back to sleep.
Sniff one more time, honey. I swear to God. Go outside if you want to breathe.
Yeah, pretty much. Been there.
Yeah, so they.
Oh, there it is. We'll go out. We'll go to break on this. Hand it over to Joe and Brian Malema.
So I think this is a different song. I don't think
this is not the one you're thinking of.
This does not have that tone.
I thought I heard it.
I don't think so.
It was in the beginning.
It's the song where they're on the Navy ship launching the plane.
Yeah,
off.
This is it. Danger Zone. It's certainly not the song where they play volleyball.
No.
Was that your favorite scene growing up?
Still is. Or football now in the old. Where there's no offense and defense. It's just running around
just
grabbing
seven,
each other.
Not even seven shirts. On seven.
Yeah, take it to the bedroom, guys. All right. That's good. Wow, fans rolling in. People rolling in here at Patterson Park. Will Kunkel here covering Rich Eisen on Kicking It with Kunkel. We had a great time today at Patterson Park. Food has been fantastic. Drink specials are rolling in. Brian's here. Brian Lima and Joe George are up next. You can win $500 to Republic Boot Company if you come out here. Enter the raffle, as well as Huntington Bake out here giving away some free swag as well. I'm Will Kunkel. Find me on all the social media channels and YouTube. Kicking It with Kunkel. Been live on TikTok this entire time. I appreciate y'all. Let's go, American. Peace.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.